You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Eats, breathes, and sleeps football.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. I have Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler here. Heroes both.
Just get ready for that honk attack. You know, we're talking before the show, how long is this show going to be? What did it, and Dan says he feels a honk attack coming. I don't think so. We're excited, but we can control it.
You know what they say? It is always Greg who likes to put out a number of how long the show will go on for. Yeah. And it's always an absurdly low.
No, I'm doing it.
He said 50, something.
I said like, under
Greg
60.
Greg is a large reason, but we love to hear from Greg. But, like, it's a large reason why the show will go we'll 75 see. Minutes.
No, so. No.
I try to humor Greg when he says that. I go, okay. Okay, Greg.
I'm just saying this Wednesday show.
You know. And then you lose feeling in your arms. It's like, it's a honk attack. But we have plenty of reason to honk.
Yes.
This show in particular, because never before since February has football felt this close to being back.
Football is back.
Almost.
I mean, we're previewing an actual game.
We're getting closer. We're nearing the target.
It is the Thursday night opener is a little over 24 hours away as we tape this. And it's the defending champion Chiefs on the field at Arrowhead with or without Travis Kelce. Interesting little drama to throw into things here. And we're going to preview that game. And we're going to preview. This is a new little. We talked about how we've made some changes to the show. Of course, we have our new NFL Plus offerings on Monday and Thursdays.
First one this Thursday.
First one coming up on Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun as we head to the Dreamatorium. This year, starting this year, we are doing 3 previews at least every Wednesday show. So we're going to hit the primetime games every Wednesday on the podcast. And starting next week, every Wednesday, we'll have Colleen Wolf on the show with us, which is always a wonderful thing, Mark.
It is. It would be wonderful to have her today, but I like that build that anticipation. I think what we're doing, it cleans up our Thursday show because it's our draft where we draft the games, and it's like we cut all the fat, but I guess if that's what you want to call it, and put the primetime fat into
We've
this.
We've streamlined it.
Yes.
It's lean.
That's
it's
a
lean
better
mass.
Way to describe it.
It's a lean mass. And speaking of Colleen, check out the Hard Knocks finale around the NFL podcast, which was excellent yesterday. Keith Hansis was on the show talking about his thoughts as a 55-year Jet fan. Some disco fries and pork rolls were served as per New Jersey diner tradition. So it was a fun ep. Fun ep. Check it out. But now Hard Knocks is over. The preseason's over. Training camp's over.
Our predictions aren't over, though.
Our predictions aren't over. Coming up after the game previews, go get my lunch, you monster. What was that face?
Oh, we're still using these chewing sound drops, which you know I don't approve of, but that's fine.
Well, it's because it's the lunch.
I get why.
Tie into the seg.
If the two of you find that sound drop appealing.
No, I don't. I don't have the misophonia that you do or the... fooditarian lifestyle that you do, but I still find it disquieting.
We're back on the same block there, same side of the street, Dan. Greg and Mark Green.
Yeah, it's not good for the show, I have to say, but I'm going to work through it. If I have, if that's what this show is now, you guys just agreeing on everything.
I mean, because we know it agitates you. It's a, there's a real motivation there.
No, Mark, your food journey is it's ever evolving. So I know maybe that's not even fair anymore to say that you're a fooditarian. A
guy I think we have to be, you know, stay on your heels here. Like things are changing weekly.
On your toes.
Or your heels. Yeah. Toes.
Heels would be like more relaxed.
Wheel me out of here.
All right. Yes, go get my lunch. We'll do our sandwich props for the 2023 regular season, right? We keep it condensed the regular season, or did you guys have ones that take us through the playoffs and beyond?
Regular season for me.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That makes sense. Season. All right, let's get, before we get to that, we'll have a special guest at the end as well. But before any of that, let's talk about the games. And yes, let's start at, I don't do, some people call it Jeeha Field. Jeeha? Is it G-E-H-A Field?
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
I'll never, ever, ever, ever use that. Arrowhead, the Kansas City Chiefs coming off another Super Bowl conquest. That brilliant back and forth affair with the Philadelphia Eagles. Their reward, they open the season at home and they get the Detroit Lions. And Mark, we'll start here that we've already touched on this a couple times, that the Lions are in a tough spot here. They are a team that everyone kind of loves universally, it seems, as an NFC team ready to take the next step. But going on the road to KC is a tough way to start the season on Thursday night. But the Chiefs might not be fully the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see about Travis Kelce. That said, I mean, they've won.
What happened to Travis Kelce?
So he has a bone bruise, essentially.
Right.
On his
where?
Knee, and they on his knee. Knee, and they so they went and the ACL is intact. It's like it's not overly serious, but he's in a day to day situation. Mm. Seems like we will not see him tomorrow night
because that headline was felt a little overly serious. So the headline being his ACL is intact, I was just like, oh,
yeah,
well,
that was
I
a little.
Well,
little
I didn't know that was a question. Shoot.
It started. The report initially was that he hyperextended his knee in practice. On Tuesday, and then same thing. I woke up in the morning, and the headline I saw was the ACL's intact. I was like, I didn't know that was in question.
No,
that's a season ender, obviously. If it was a close call, then you're right. They're probably not going to play him. However, Travis Kelce doesn't miss games. He had a microfracture knee surgery way back in 2013 that cost him time at the beginning of his career. He missed one game during the COVID season when he got sidelined with a positive test or a close call or whatever it was back then. Otherwise, this guy finds the field. He's a dog. If they tell him his ACL is intact, I think he'll probably be on the field. That's just my gut feeling.
I tend to think that too. For the reasons you just mentioned, he is sort of a absolute like durability magnet. I mean, you also don't have Chris Jones if you're the Chiefs. They've won 8 straight Week 1 matchups, and I think the question here with the Lions has been like, do I trust that you can get out of the gates quickly if you're Detroit? I do, because the things I love about Detroit, which is their offensive line, the way that they ran the ball last year. You got the best version of Jared Goff. I think they've added some weapons. That said, like, I can't think of a tougher scenario than to have to go deal with Andy Reid out of the gate if you're Dan Campbell. It's just like it's different than other teams. Like, Andy Reid has probably cooked some stuff up with or without Travis Kelce that no one's seen before. I think this Chiefs offense is going to come at you with the run in a way that we haven't seen in years past and find a new way to inflict damage.
Yeah, I think of Andy Reid early in the season as a cheat code. He always has a couple things that other teams see and then copy. And this kickoff game, I think of, you know, when they were the champs, but I also think of, weren't they on the road in New England for the kickoff game? The rare team that actually won that game because they put up, you know, a 40 burger on the Patriots. It's worrisome, but I can't think of one worse thing than facing the Chiefs in Week 1, which would be facing them with Chris Jones, their most valuable defensive player by far, with a healthy Travis Kelce, their second most important offensive player. That's a big gap between one and two, still number two. And oh, by the way, L'Jarius Sneed, the best player in their secondary, their best quarterback, has had an injury that's kept him out most of camp. He's been limited. We don't know if he's going to play a full complement of snaps or if he's going to even play at all. So those are three pretty key players that at least give the Lions a little hope.
Here's the latest on Chris Jones before we turn our attention to the Lions. He was at a charity event on Wednesday, and he was asked how soon he could be ready to play if he reaches a new deal with the Chiefs. If a deal gets done, I could be out there tomorrow. Now, even if the deal does get done and he's out there tomorrow, also something that feels totally plausible. I don't know if he's playing a regular complement of snaps considering how everything played out this summer. So, yeah, you're probably getting a lesser version of Jones or seeing less of Jones, a lesser version of Kelce or not seeing him at all. And yet the Lions probably still, to me, Greg, it's an uphill climb. Do you think their offense, because this KC defense, even with Snead potentially being an issue here as well, you think the offense of last year shows up for Detroit that kind of surprised teams all year?
Yeah, because I think it's the same offensive line. And yes, you're wondering which wide receiver steps up other than Amon-Ra St. Brown. But to me, it doesn't matter. They're a little like the Chiefs now. They're about the line. And in the Lions' case, the system, not necessarily just the quarterback. That line, which is fully healthy and actually hasn't been. They've always been like missing one piece, but they're fully healthy here. Against the Chiefs' defensive line, without Chris Jones, not a lot of pressure on the edges, not a lot of pressure in the middle. I mean, to me, that's as big a mismatch as Mahomes versus the Lions' defense, because at least the Lions' defense added so many new pieces in the secondary. I think they're very deep on the defensive line, and Mahomes is not playing with all his full complement of guys around him. To me, that offensive line versus Chiefs defensive line matchup is such a mismatch. You could see a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs running the ball, catching the ball down the field. They said they're going to use him in different ways that people aren't expecting. I don't know what that means. I think
they always say that.
I think that means as a vertical receiver. So it's maybe Laporta and Gibbs, and that's counting on a lot for a rookie, but Goff and those rookies can look better because you just keep winning up front over and over.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Twentyman from the Lions website noted that Gibbs could potentially function as their primary downfield pass catcher. I'm with you, Dan, when I hear that stuff, I'm like,
that's terrible.
Let's see. Well, I think that tells you.
I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a running back that they're talking. That means they are lacking seriously with Jameson Williams out, and they're trying to find a way to use the running back that they overdrafted as their number one deep threat. It's a little bit of a red flag for me.
I mean, like, you don't have DJ Chark anymore, so it's a lot on St. Brown. It's probably a lot on Sam Laporta, a rookie tight end who, you know, I mean, I'm with you on this one too, Dan, where it's like these rookie tight ends, it's a promising class, but you really need to see it first. That said, I think like Ben Johnson is one of these guys that last year became like a star coordinator, extremely creative, and will find a way to use these Chiefs-like pieces from different aspects. Like you're missing guys at wide receiver, but like I really trust that. I think the version we got of Jared Goff behind this line can continue. I think it's this notion that he's just that was a mirage and he's gonna fall off a cliff.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
He's a marksman. If you give him time and give him a pocket, once that disappears, it's kind of over. But again, Chris Jones, who knows? And I gotta say, one of the central tenets of this podcast is winning that trophy, that Locks championship every year. And nobody likes the idea that it's back in Greg's garage.
No, I mean, I like it.
I'm with you.
I mean, I like the fact that it's 3 out of 4 for me.
Right, so but nobody likes it.
If it becomes 4 out of 5, I think we have to think about just calling the end of the competition just out of a mercy rule, some sort of thing.
We'll have a serious conversation saying, after the season.
I think
people would just appreciate
about that. With that said, I'm starting this thing off.
Oh,
I'm in it to win it. I did win the title 2 years ago. I want it back to make it 2 out of 3. I'm locking up the Chiefs in Arrowhead. The spread is 4.5 with it well within the mirror, considering some of the Chiefs issues here. And I'm coming for you, Greg, and I'm behind Patrick Mahomes at home in a kickoff game. This isn't a field goal game to me. This is a touchdown to 10-point win, even with these issues they have on both sides of the ball. I'm feeling good.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before the show, and I'm very tempted to do the same, but I don't think that's good show business tactics, so I'm going to wait on my lock till later.
Showman.
He's a showman.
I also
classic
think
showman move.
What would be an incredible, like, tone-setting disaster then for you to pick what seems like one of the most lockable games out there, and then the Lions do what they did to the Packers to end last season.
You guys will just both lock up the Falcons anyway tomorrow. So.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, you can't hate on that. You got a chance to lock the Chiefs in hindsight when we're doing our new TNF recap show.
Get ready.
It'll probably seem ridiculous that it was available. But I believe in this Lions team. They were the team of the Around the NFL podcast last year.
They sure were.
And you guys wanted to drop them like a bad habit, but I'm sticking with them in general.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think they're going to win, but I do think...
with a strong statement.
I don't think they're going to win, but I do think they have the depth on the defensive line.
Greg, listen to what you just said.
I'm just saying...
That whole buildup, and then I'm sticking with them, but I don't think they're going to win.
What am I going to do? Pick them in this spot? But
yeah.
When it was at...
Exactly.
The number was at 7 at one point, then it was at 6.5, and then it kept... And then Kelsey thing happened. Now it's down to 4.5. Like, I liked the Lions side of that. If I had to choose, I still like the Lions side of that. It is... A first time around, though, for this secondary, when we haven't talked about it too much, Cam Sutton coming off an injury, Mosley, and not coming off an injury, new to the team, Mosley coming off an injury, CeeDee Deuce, new to the team, Brian Branch, new to the team. I'm excited about this group, but it is the first game of the year against the Chiefs, so I just think in a shootout, you take the Chiefs.
I'm glad you said that, because earlier you had said that they remade the secondary, and they have these weapons on offense, and the offensive line is intact. That's all good, but yeah, sometimes this stuff takes time, especially, yes. I mean, think about their defense at the beginning of last year, before Aaron Glenn, they're firing the defensive line coach, they're getting embarrassed by the Patriots, and then they brought it in for a landing in a really impressive way, which has fed into all this optimism around Detroit, but I just think it's asking too much week one for the Lions. So if they do, ooh, look out.
Just give us a good game. I think it's going to be in the 30s. I think, you know, that over is going to be reached in a nice little week one.
I'm hopeful they can keep it close, but this does feel like an outlier of an opener. While there is a variance where, like, yeah, maybe it's like 40-14 and settle down on Detroit.
I just mean it's been a...
Compared to other openers where it's like two absolute
known titans against
each other. The Kelsey
injury makes me think that's not going to happen.
Kelsey injury,
yeah.
Chris Jones, like...
And Jones.
He is such a force multiplier where he helps the guys around him, who I'm not that impressed with in general, so him not there. Kadarius Toney is expected to have limited snaps, but isn't, you know, really there. Like, they have had a kind of a rough month, relatively.
All right, let us move to Sunday Night Football.
Hell yeah. Honk fest.
Oh, I did not realize this till right now. Both Sunday night and Monday night will be played at MetLife Stadium.
So that's never happened. That's never happened
that's
before.
The name of it.
Oh, the Giants fans are upset about MetLife Stadium. On a thread with some East Coasters, they don't like it.
I hate that
Aaron Rodgers brought it up.
Welcome to MetLife Stadium.
I mean, great job by Aaron Rodgers, but how did it take this long for that nickname even to come about? I guess they didn't have the hood.
They've like sucked for the entire time MetLife Stadium has been open. Like, literally. It opened, I think, what, in 2011?
Yeah,
that's
like,
itch.
Yeah, like the life of the Jets was not anything people were seeking.
Maybe it was open during the Rex era. I don't remember. It's been a long time now. So we had the Dallas Cowboys.
It was because I think I saw Brett Favre. I know I saw Brett Favre play there, and that was before that.
Maybe it was 2009. Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, NFC East foes.
Yeah.
Both are entering this season, Greg, feeling very good. The Cowboys coming off back-to-back double-digit win seasons. They think they could win this division and finally get over the hump and get back to at least the NFC title game. The Giants, they came out of nowhere last year, shocked everybody, and made the playoffs, and they believe they could take the next step. What are you seeing in this game?
I'm seeing a matchup last year that DeMarcus Lawrence specifically was a monster. And to me, that speaks to just what's great about this Cowboys team that I don't think gets enough attention, which is just their defensive line depth. It's just kind of crazy that they have Sam Williams, who on any other team I think would be starting. We'd be talking about making the leap type of guy. He's a second year pass rusher. Dorrance Armstrong, who's one of the best reserve pass rushers in the league. And then you have Lawrence, who's still playing this well across from my defensive player of the year favorite, Micah Parsons. And Parsons last year had one game where we really did quite well against Andrew Thomas and one game less so. And Andrew Thomas is an all-pro type of guy, but Evan Neal is not. And he wasn't last year as a first-round pick. And Lawrence ate him for lunch last year in those two matchups and really harassed Daniel Jones, who did not play well in the first one of those games. The other was on Thanksgiving. It was a back-and-forth game. But it's crazy, Mark. Like, they haven't beaten Dak Prescott. And I know not to put too much into these stats with previous teams, but they haven't beaten Dak Prescott in the last 10 times they played.
Yeah, it's although this Giants, this incarnation of the Giants, I think is even different from last year's. And I feel like there's no team in the league that people sort of universally seem to be down on than what the Giants, at what they did last year, what it actually meant and what it means for this season. Like, this team, because the one thing the Cowboys did on defense was they were a takeaway machine, and they found a way to hassle teams week after week. That the Giants under Daboll last year had the second fewest giveaways. And I think part of it is you add someone like Jalin Hyatt to the mix. What we've been hearing about Darren Waller could potentially completely change this offense if you get the good version of him. And I think people are a little too low on Daniel Jones. I know he got paid a lot of money, but I think we're on the edge of like a Daniel Jones like evolution under Daboll. We're going to see more elements of his game. They were not a deep ball team last year on any level, but he was one of the most efficient. He was the most efficient running quarterback in the league. And there are Josh Allen elements to that, to his game. Chris Collinsworth noted that after deeply watching his tape, that he saw elements of Patrick Mahomes in terms of I know it sounds crazy, but not just automatically going to his first read, but tucking the ball in and deciding what to do with it, creating space, getting his wide receivers open. So I think the passing attack from Daniel Jones has a chance to make a big leap, especially with Waller there. And like, I think people are just a little too low on the Giants. I love
doing it against
some
good defenses. I think that was the key. And he kind of did on that. It was a Thanksgiving game, right? Am I remembering it right? Against the Cowboys. But he took a lot of sacks in those two games, and he hasn't done it against the big defenses. He kind of ate up some bad ones.
Yeah, and it's kind of the genius of Brian Daboll that he did it with Josh Allen. He kind of took over and diagnosed what Josh Allen does well and how to accentuate what he does well and turned him into a superstar, or helped turn him into a superstar. And then he did the same thing with Daniel Jones and looked at what he did well, what he did wrong, and what you saw last year was a lot more scrambling, a lot more first reads and taking off, picking up first downs. He was near the top of the league of all quarterbacks in terms of rushing yards, rushing for first downs, and it made him a much more efficient player and a less turnover-prone player. Now the book is out. The teams know that's what the Giants, how they want to use Jones. I think all the talk about Darren Waller, that's what's so great about the games coming now, because now we can see. After all this talk about how much of a difference Darren Waller will make for this offense in the red zone and giving Jones a true threat. Darren Waller hasn't been that guy for 2 years. So they're banking on him being healthy and kind of being reinvigorated within this offense. And we're going to see it against the Cowboys, because what do teams like to do when they have a shiny new toy? As soon as they get their first chance, they're going to do everything in their power to make Waller a star in this game. And I want to see what kind of production he has.
I'm very curious what Daboll will do kind of for a second act here, because Daniel Bellinger was a good rookie last year, a good rookie tight end. If he had stayed healthy the whole season, like, he had a better rookie season on some level than like Kyle Pitts was having for Atlanta. That's a nice little two tight end group. I'm not saying he's that sort of talent. And now you have all these receivers who actually stayed healthy. I'm very curious how he'll attack. And I do think if the Giants can win this game, it's because their defensive line steps up another level. Because the defensive line, Dexter Lawrence was their best player last year, but Kayvon has a chance to be better even than he was. And he was good.
But you do want to be our friend, right?
I don't. I'm authentic.
Ojulari's there. Like, it could be a very good defensive line. Tyler Smith, the Cowboys' starting guard, had a hamstring injury that they had an MRI on. They've changed around their offensive line. So that's something where they could keep this game low scoring and ugly by getting a lot of pressure on Dak. But this is the same team, to be fair, that, you know, couldn't beat Cooper Rush last year.
No, they couldn't. I mean, it's also, you know, I know you move on from the offensive coordinator, but with Dak in the lineup last year, the Cowboys averaged 30 points a game, the most by any starting quarterback. He also missed 5 games and threw 15 interceptions. I know a lot of them weren't on him, but I just feel like Dak already is under immense pressure. And I think if you're Mike McCarthy and you're calling plays now, it's like there is some pressure there to get out of the gate quickly. Like, a loss to the Giants would be a mega disaster.
Going against two rookie cornerbacks. I've said it before here, but that's pretty interesting. Deontay Banks and then Hawkins, their 6th-round pick.
The running backs.
I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog.
That's true. Oh, by the way, there is a new.
They are favorites, by the way. Road favorites. I think it's like 2.5.
Really?
Not surprising.
Seems about right. That's in the nether zone, but yeah, they are slight favorites.
Hang on 1 second here. I got to find this from Dave Ely, who does great job on the desk. And then he'll send me stuff occasionally that I would like. And here he is. This is on Twitter from Calvin Watkins.
What a coworker.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy said the theme of the season is Carpe Omnia. It's Latin, right? And that means seize everything. The Cowboys have an empty picture frame in front of the team meeting room. picture says a 1,000 words, he said.
Wait, what?
I don't know anything that everything I just read.
Stop it.
So there's an empty picture frame and they have to make the picture. Now, I like the, what was the phrase again?
Carpe omnia.
Now, I like that because
seize everything.
Right. If you just seize the day.
That's just one day.
When's this game being played, Dan?
Well,
it's not Sunday football. It's Sunday night football.
Exactly.
You leave a big hole there.
In general,
good
yeah.
strategy.
There's 365 days. Seize the day. What day? What about the rest? This is everything. Good job by McCarthy.
Everything locked includes. Loaded. Everything includes, you know, positives and
but
negatives.
Again, Cowboys have an empty picture frame in front of the team meeting room. Picture says 1,000 words, he says.
Overly complex.
Yeah. This is
too much.
If Jonathan Gannon did this, everyone would be crushing him. But, you know, McCarthy's got
it. It's kind of a mojo moment, though. He's talking. It all kind of comes back to mojo moments. The running backs. The running backs are Saquon Barkley on one side, Tony Pollard on the other. Barkley had a big bounce back season last year. We'll see what he can do as an encore. What is Pollard's status? Is he all systems go? Or
it's interesting because he didn't play in the preseason, but yes, they are talking about him like he's going to get a pretty heavy workload. But I think we'll
see. Weirdly, not a lot of conversation about the guy coming off the broken leg in the playoffs.
No, that is a concern. And a guy that's never been that guy consistently as a 20-plus touch guy. So I'd like to see a little Deuce Vaughn first Sunday night on NBC. I see you, NBC executives. I know what you're doing. What's the number one matchup in the NFL in terms of ratings over the last 15 years?
15 years?
It's Giants-Eagles.
Is
giving
it?
You the answer. If you look at... I mean, wait, what did I just say? Giants, Cowboys. I blew it.
Tough Sid.
The season's over.
What about some of those, like, the Colts, Pats games?
But just consistently, if you look at
that makes sense.
10, Giants, Cowboys are like 5 or 6 of the top 10 always in Sunday night football.
Well, they've done this before multiple
times. Right. And
times,
so, and then you put it on week 1, which is often the biggest week of the year. This is the biggest match, the biggest week of the year. They're looking for record.
Oh, Mondo.
They're looking for record.
Mondo. And, you know,
I don't think anyone was mystified how this wound up being like the opening
right.
Sunday night.
But there's always been, it used to happen a lot in this show when one or neither of the teams was relevant. Like, come on, let's grow up, Peter Pan. It gets monster ratings, and that's all that matters. That's what TV is.
I think you're pointing to the fact that the Cowboys were often dinged by certain people on the show for sucking and still getting massive primetime shares.
About the money.
Well, of course. I think
everything is about.
We were children back then when we
now we're
we thought
grown
we
and
saw
grizzled.
The world that way.
Let's pick this game. It's a tough one. I kind of like the G-men in their building here.
But I'm going
to pick the Cowboys to win the division. G-men. So they're going to start with a loss on the road.
Although it's a division game. I do like division games in week 1. Just gives a little extra.
I like a 24-20 Giants win. How about that?
Wow. I was wrong. It's a 3.5-point number, and that's a little disrespectful.
I think it is.
To the Giants.
Oh, but
this is where I'd probably try to thread the needle, as we as we like to say on a game day view, where I'd probably pick the Giants to cover that, even though it's small, and pick the Cowboys to win.
Mark.
I do that little picks thing each week where
that little picks thing.
Well, because here's what you do. Like, no one knows about the ones you get wrong, but if you pick like it's a sharp underdog and like you're one of the only of the 10 people that did, you get all these. I got all these people from New York saying like New Jersey, great job. You believe in us. I picked the Giants and I'm picking them right here. I'll say 21-20.
All right.
So G-men.
I have to bring my. You guys know my son's a big NFL Plus guy.
Huge.
You know, just loves
biggest one I know.
Loves the live game. Loves the local games. Loves the primetime games. He can watch this one on NFL Plus. Giants Cowboys.
Good plug.
Good way to essentially use your child to
right.
Well, he's doing it without
fat in his own bottom
right.
line.
We even wanting to. They had this thing up, and I was like, "What is he even watching?" It's like a voiceover. It's very snappy. It's really well done. It's predictions. And I realized it's the Sessler group predictions.
Mark Ed Sessler?
They talk about it, and then they show up the predictions, and
they
cut it up into voice. But I've got some news for you. I don't know if you entered your predictions late this week.
No, Mark.
Because they had all 10 up.
No, Mark.
And I didn't see something.
Mark, week 1, baby.
I know exactly what happened, because we were literally taping a show. while the deadline was passing. Okay. So I was
because
like,
they did have a weird right. spot that seemed almost empty. I think they were holding it for it's, you. It,
they are, but the I think the actual voiceover individual for those, you know, yeah. do these people. I think they inserted his prediction maybe in instead of mine for this first week.
One more, okay. Wow. Well, let's keep an eye on that going forward. One more prediction to
not make.
Not
the reaction I was looking for.
Dak Prescott will throw two more crucial interceptions in this game that the echo chamber will say were not his fault.
Okay, like
there were a couple last year that were tipped.
He literally was one of the best quarterbacks in the league at preventing interceptions until last year. That's just a fact.
I'm just saying that's what's going to happen in my mind on Sunday. Let's take a break, and then we'll get to a certain Monday Night Football game of incredible intrigue.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Again, if you're just joining us, which would be weird, it's a podcast. Maybe you got into the car with your buddy, and your buddy was listening to the first half hour of the show.
Maybe you're a huge fan of this game. You looked at that description where our producer, Eric Reynolds, does the time codes. And you had to get to this game.
Time coded it. Do you time code, Eric?
You've got two friends driving around town together in this scenario.
Just listening.
Very bizarre.
How's your thumb, Eric? Is it anything weird happening?
It's actually surprisingly like...
Any growth? That's what we're looking for, growth.
I mean, if honestly...
Don't hold them up, okay?
You wouldn't like... It wouldn't catch your eye too bad. The nail looks kind of effed up.
Yeah.
But the thumb itself is actually kind of, it feels weird.
That's Mark and I were looking for the sci-fi element, if you have any flesh growth. Yeah.
No.
But you were told by your doctor that
would be
the case.
Yeah, my doctor said. But he's.
Are you sure that was a doctor? We don't know.
It's not. Yeah. When your wife handed the doctor a part of flesh in an ice bag, and he's like, what's that for? Yeah. And then threw it into the toxic waste basket. That was a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, he did seem lost.
Like, he couldn't even fathom why your wife was in there with that bag or unable to piece together what was happening. Red flag. Was this a real hospital?
Yes,
right.
Yes, it was.
So like a vet? Like when the gangsters have to go to the vet, the guy that they pay off, and they have to do it in the basement always.
And it's
like,
weird that the...
You'll be all right. The gunshot, it didn't catch any major organs. I'm in a lot of pain. You'll be fine. Stop being a crybaby. You know that old thing?
That is an old thing. It's also weird like that he had the toxic waste bag in his locker. And it was like, you know, right underneath like Doc's Tasty Treats. Yeah. It was very
should have known
a weird guy.
They just drenched the thumb in like whiskey and gave me a piece of tree to bite.
The old vet in the back pocket.
The old piece of
organized
tree.
Crime. Anyway, Monday Night Football.
That's the show right here. That's the show.
Back
it's
to the Jet other Life
stuff.
Stadium.
It's not just the football. It's the other stuff, too.
Okay. It's finally here after months of anticipation. Aaron Rodgers will make his debut in a game that counts against, of all teams, the mighty Buffalo Bills. Eric Roberts' own Buffalo Bills. They are back-to-back-to-back division champs. And again, feeling, Mark, like a Super Bowl or bust year for the Bills. So to get this Bills team on the road in Monday night against this Jets team that arrived on defense last year, were a quarterback short, and then got Aaron effing Rodgers. Now that is a great way to end the week.
This is
Welcome
the game.
To Jet Life Stadium.
It is just like the most mysterious sporting event, and I get it. I think it gets tiresome to say that we're going to be fascinated by X, Y, and Z, but this is the one that sits there out on Monday
it's
night.
The game of the week, by
absolutely,
far.
Because the Jets have been treated in a way that few sports teams are, with having proven literal to nothing, and it's not their fault, but it's like they are the headline. The Bills are not. The Bills somehow have been superseded here. And I think one thing that you can point to from a year ago, because what carries over, Robert Saleh's defense. This Jets defense, the defensive line, I think is as good as anything the NFL has at any position group. We've talked about that. And Josh Allen last year, he struggled against the Jets. They knocked him off in one game. He averaged 100 fewer passing yards against the Jets than any other team. And this is Josh Allen. I think this is post Brian Daboll, there have been some issues. I know there was an injury last year. He's still fantastic on the ground and does things that few other people can do. But he is accountable for 29 interceptions over the last two seasons, which is the most in the league. And I would just say that this Jets defense, it's not just the attention is all on Aaron Rodgers and understandably on Hard Knocks to begin with. But I think this is a defense that's going to generate turnovers on a weekly basis, going to generate massive punishment on a quarterback.
They didn't do that last year, by the way, turnovers. That was the one issue with the defense.
They could
they
flip
were
that up.
Near the bottom of the league.
But I think that I go back to this Steelers-Bills preseason game, and I guess just wipe away everything from the preseason. But I thought Josh Allen had looked uncomfortable at times in this preseason. Like, seeing pressure that wasn't there, and I just wonder if this Jets defense at home, if they can respond quickly. You're asking them to grow up in a minute. We're going to find out the truth right away about who the Jets are, but I love this opportunity for what they're good at to thrive against Josh Allen.
I think it could really be a defensive game, and I predicted that the Bills win the division when we did our season predictions, and so I go into this one thinking, look, everyone's looking past this team. They are favored, the Bills, in this game. But when I think about those matchups, that does matter last year. He averaged under 6 yards per attempt against the Jets. He had two interceptions, no touchdowns in a game that Zach Wilson started at quarterback and won. I mean, I think that matters because you are just looking at the Jets' biggest strength by far up front on the defensive line. And it's not just one guy. It's six guys versus what in my mind is the Bills' biggest weakness, if you had to choose one, certainly on their offense and maybe on their whole roster, which is their offensive line. And we've already seen Robert Saleh matches up well here. And so after thinking about it more, Josh Allen's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, and he's going to have to maybe pick on the Jets' safeties, getting the ball over the middle of the field. But I like this matchup for the Jets because of the defense. I think it's a defensive game both ways.
Well, look at last year. So you mentioned it. Robert Saleh and that Jets defense had Josh Allen in a blender. It was the high point of their season. I believe it was about week 9 or 10, a 2017 win at the Meadowlands, where Allen really struggled. He took a vicious hit that stuck with him for the rest of the season, an injury that really I think a lot of people attributed to affecting his play down the stretch. And then when the Jets were in their free fall later in the season, they still hung with him. And I think they put maybe 20 points.
And he had 147 yards and was sacked 3 times, 8 on the year.
So now, again, teams adjust. Last year is last year. This year is this year. But we don't need to look at this game and say, Stephon Diggs, who, by the way, has to deal with Sauce, and the Bills, they're going to be off and running. Now, remember last year, we were at the game when the season started last year across the street, and the Bills hit the ground running. They beat up on the Rams, and they looked unstoppable. I just would be really surprised if the Jets might lose this game. Certainly possible. It's a very tough game. But I'd be very surprised if the defense faltered and played poorly. I agree. I think this is going to be a defensive back and forth. I think the Aaron Rodgers stands, myself included, with the Jets, are going to want him to throw 4 touchdowns and have the storybook game. I don't think that happens either. This feels to me like a 2017 type game that can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, structurally, I think the Jets have to win a lot of these games this season in a really rough schedule out of the gate with their defense. So it's not just going to be Aaron Rodgers. I think that X factor, you talked about that Bills-Rams game from a year ago, it was the pass rush that completely exposed a totally faulty Rams offensive line. You need Dwayne Brown, Mekhi Becton to show up and play well, and that's not just this week, but it's like there are Jets questions along their line as well. I do think, though, that why Aaron Rodgers can succeed sooner than you'd expect potentially is that they've surrounded him with players he's comfortable with. Nathaniel Hackett was a mess last year, but under Nathaniel Hackett in recent days, Aaron Rodgers.
Hi, my name's Nathaniel Hackett. Thanks. It's nice to see you out here.
He sounds like a funny guy, but Aaron Rodgers, 111 touchdowns and 13 picks under Hackett in this past three seasons underneath him with 109.2 rating and two MVPs. So, no matter what you think about what happened last year, if you're Sean Payton or someone else, Hackett and Rodgers work together. I think you put Rodgers in an environment where if the line stays together, like, he can succeed quickly.
Yeah. Getting deep shots against Micah Hyde and Poyer and that deep safety group is going to be tough. But I do think the secondary receivers, like, who can win those matchups? You like the matchups a little better, I think, for the Jets. Of a Lazard or a Mecole Hardman winning against some of these secondary cornerbacks for the Bills. They're still kind of rotating. They're still looking for their secondary depth. Whereas for the Bills, if Diggs is taken out, you're counting on Trent Sherfield and Dalton Kincaid, and maybe they get it going, but in tougher matchups against a very deep Jet secondary.
Yeah, no one talks about DJ Reed.
Like, no.
You know, there's Sauce Gardner, but DJ Reed actually did a lot more of covering number one wideouts a year ago.
Reed was the unexpected, like, find on that defense. I need the season to start. DJ Reed is out here telling the media this week that the Jets could be the 85 Bears on defense. That's the type of stuff I don't need right now. No. Now it's time, just don't pump yourself any more than necessary. Let's get to it. I think that besides with the Rodgers side of things, the thing that I most want to see is in a game situation, this Jets defensive line, because that has a chance to really power the entire team. And I don't even know what's going on with Carl Lawson at this point with a back issue that continues to linger. But the old Parcellsism, Greggy, he's a progress stopper potentially at this point with Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald and Quinnen Williams and John Franklin Myers, Michael Clemens. These guys are going to go. Yet Bryce Huff is a nice complimentary guy. They just keep coming at you. This is what Saleh's been trying to build since he got there, and now they get to unleash it in prime time with everyone watching for four quarters. I'm really excited to see how that defense looks in the front and how the Buffalo Bills try to combat that, because that's going to play into, you would imagine, the game plan for Buffalo is we know they're dogs and they're going to be coming after us, so that might limit their ability to attack the safeties with deep shots, because they're going to try more of a quick hitting affair on their offense,
something quick over the middle. And this is why I'm so glad they gave Troy and Joe all that money, because this is a game that deserves a little Troy and Joe. You got Gardner versus Diggs, maybe the best cornerback wide receiver matchup we're seeing twice a year. It just deserves, this whole thing deserves a little. This is why they gave him all that.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I was going to ask,
excited,
what is your P scale level at this point?
I like that I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bunkered up with my sons and my wife, who loves Hard Knocks, no matter who the team is. She said she's going to be following the Jets this year as a result. Speaking of Hard Knocks.
Finally. I mean, it took
how is she not
quite
following
a long time
in your
marriage.
House,
to,
I'm never around, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you happen to catch the finale, Mark?
I have not seen that yet. Well, at the first 15 minutes.
The show takes a hard left turn about midway through into an Unsolved Mysteries episode. Can we play a little bit of Aaron Rodgers talking about a UFO sighting in New Jersey in 2000? When was he drafted? 2005.
We just stood frozen, the three of us, on the front stoop of Steve's house. And about 30 seconds later, we heard the real recognizable sound of fighter jets going shoo, 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 shoo. That seemed to be chasing this object. And again, we just stood there in just disbelief for another few minutes. Nobody said a word. And then we all kind of looked at each other like, did we just see what we think we just saw? What was that?
I love it. It's complete madness coming from a man who fans like myself have tied everything to.
Well, he's
just on TV
about,
talking like that.
He's spoken about UFOs before, I believe, in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, like, this summer has been good for Aaron Rodgers. Hard Knocks has been good. And, like, where if he would have said that a year ago, I think it would have been chuckled off the stage. But, Greg, I know you've been a little suspicious of Aaron Rodgers, the human. Are you? Do you like?
Oh, we're just moving off the alien stuff.
No, I mean, I'm just saying I think that he's telling the truth about the experience he had. Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. I guess that's if you know, there's these.
I didn't believe that.
You didn't believe that?
No, I didn't believe that. No, I don't remember that.
Rodgers, but not Mayfield, because he's better at football.
Okay,
and plays for the Jets.
That's the best.
Kind of ran out of football content there on maybe at the tail end of Hard Knocks.
A little bit.
Okay.
Keith Anzus, by the way, on the Hard Knocks podcast, told a great story of being 20 years old in the early 70s and waiting at Hofstra University at the dorms out in Long Island. And his buddy, Pete Zempepos, who played football at Hofstra, said every night, Joe's the last one before a curfew. He will every night without fail get there right at the curfew, 11 p.m. So let's go have a couple beers and come back here right at curfew. And sure enough, Joe comes barreling around the corner.
Wow.
At exactly 10:58 in his Cadillac. And my dad meets Joe Namath. And go check out the episode to hear the rest of it. But
how has he not told us that story before?
I've heard the story
before. Okay, because I mean, I've hung out with
him. Yeah, there was Matt the first. It was
talked about the Jets.
It was very good work by Keith, unprompted to bring up that story.
I thought you were going to say he also saw a UFO. It's like apparently everyone but us has seen.
I don't know. You know what? I've seen a UFO.
Colleen's father has seen one too.
Yeah, we talked about that story again as well. I'm curious. Next time Keith's on, we'll get him on at some point to check in with the Jets. Let's ask him what he thinks about UFOs.
Mm. All right.
All right. Any other thoughts? How about the game? Let's pick this one.
I think I changed my mind as I was talking and will take the Jets in a narrow one. Yeah. In this week one game. I like the Bills better for the season, but I think the Jets win this game.
Yeah, I'm just going with my heart on this a little bit. I think that the Jets nip them. And I think that MetLife is going to be as on fire as it's ever been since the crescendoing heights of Rex Ryan.
I don't think that's a good call. I don't think it'll ever be as hot in terms of a Jets game as it's going to be when Rodgers takes the field. Of course, I'll take the Jets too. 24-21, late touchdown pass by Aaron Rodgers to CJ Uzama for the win. And that means we all pick the Jets. Everyone on Good Morning Football picked the Jets to go to the playoffs. It's gas up season for the Jets. But you know what? I'm taking all that anxiety out of my mind. It's time to play football. Let's see what happens.
Whatever they say about Aaron Rodgers on TV is a lie.
All right. That's it. That is the previews of the three primetime games. And like we said, this is going to be an every week thing. We hit those games. And then on Thursday, we have our draft, as you, if you're a fan of the show, know about. Now we transition. This is where
the Honk Attack did arrive. You were right.
It always does. It always does. Yeah, we did 45 on those three games. But that's okay. We're enjoying ourselves. We're having fun. And go get my lunch. The conversation begins, you buttheads, where we make predictions on the season to come, the regular season to come, and we track these predictions with the great help of Nick Fortier, who's been running gogetmylunch.org for years. We're entering our 11th season. Fortier's, if he's been at it 8 years, 9 years, I believe it, because it's been pretty long now he's been doing it.
And to be fair, hasn't been paid a cent for his efforts.
I think much longer than
2014 was his first.
Wow.
So basically, this would be his 10th year tracking things.
Congratulations to Nick.
How about a thank you?
Thank you, and this will pay off for you finally this year.
What does that mean?
I don't know how, but it's gonna pay off.
Oh, now you've promised something. I think we've set something to Nick in the past, but Eric, make a mental not a mental note. Can you write it down? Let's talk with the shadowy league figures upstairs and figure out something to get to Nick this year.
Yes, because who else could have tracked whether Brian Arakpo signed with the Falcons or whether Derek Morgan signed with the Falcons back in 2014?
Literally no one else in the entire world. So we go into our predictions And it is nice when I look at the history, you see Chris Wessling. And again, a special West-connected guest joining us in just a bit. You see all of his wagers, including Kristen Michael leads the Cowboys in rushing, in which Dan, Greg, and Mark took him up on it. But Mark, it's noted here, but he thinks it will be close.
That's such a Mark.
Well, there was no more. Wes was fascinated with Christine Michael, so I'm not surprised. And,
was it Kristen? It was Christine Michael?
It was Kristen. It was Kristen. But, you know, editors know it was not close. I don't believe, you know, he ever got any carries just about. Like, he had probably under 100 or 200 yards.
And, yeah, I am at 53.7%, 226 and 195. Greg, you are... I got a little distance between you right now for the first time. 219 and 199, 52.4%. Mark bringing up the old rear with the old
188 and 210.
188 and 210, 47.2%. So the goal,
well,
really,
like, you know, well, back in the early days,
I think I put some things out there that when they hit, but like they're less, maybe lower percentage.
You're Rob Deere. You're going to hit 205, sure, but you'll hit 31 homers. When you get a hold of one, that's look out. Look at that sucker go.
That's the kind of life I'd rather live.
Big chase rate.
And when not, it's like, no, a non-human is not going to, you know, score a touchdown this year.
But that's why we love you, Mark.
Hey, I did that one again.
Some people have called you a beautiful weirdo, and I agree. I didn't, but...
No, not you.
If someone did,
sure,
I would say yes, as long as that's not seen as... you know, pejorative in terms
it's
of
not,
that.
It's not pejorative in any way, I'm assuming.
All right, let's do this.
I'll start. I like this. I feel really good about this one. And there should be an onion hanger in here somewhere.
So we're doing two each and an onion hanger?
We're doing three, and then...
Yeah, sure, okay.
Mine are all pretty hangy, I gotta say. So you guys could tell me if it does or does not qualify. I don't have one that like stands out as the onion hanger, but I'll start here. Devontae Adams, superstar wide receiver of the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike Evans, star receiver of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Two players on teams kind of going nowhere is a little mean. The week one hasn't happened, but unclear future. For the organization's direction. Evans wants a new deal. I don't know if that's coming. One of those players, Adams or Evans, will be moved ahead of the trade deadline in early November.
That's a fun one.
Yep, I'll take you on it. Not to do what I just did with the Wessling one from many years ago, but
it will be close.
I do think it will happen. I think I'd put Adams. I put Adams as.
Wait, if you think it's going to happen, then don't take him.
Because the only way to gain traction in this game is to take everyone on everything. That's my strategy. So I'm going to go with the field, saying maybe they don't move him.
Well, unless it's a true 50-50 or under, I think if they were setting this line, it would be close to 50-50. But I will take you. I still think it's less likely to happen, but it's spicy. You reeled us in, and I think if you really crunch the numbers and you look at the situation, especially Adams, but Evans too, I think it's quite possible, and it's pretty close to a 50-50 idea that one of these will happen.
Here is something crazy. Now, this would be kind of like the Sessler onion hanger.
He's doing both.
Well, no, that Adams, trading any player midseason is tough. You'd have to trade him somewhere where he's comfortable and he knew the offense. That's Aaron Rodgers and Hackett and the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets, who have cap space because of the Aaron Rodgers restructuring of his contract. So they have the financial flexibility to make it happen. They have the relationship between player and quarterback and OC. And
I just want to fly around like a butterfly.
And they might have the need, Greg, because I agree with you when you look at them on paper after Garrett Wilson. It's like, if that room isn't coming together the way they like behind Wilson, or God forbid Wilson gets hurt, that is something to keep an eye on.
That's spicy. I looked at the cap implications for the Raiders, and it's not too crazy. It's doable.
And we know
they'd be motivated enough to give a boatload of picks, which is the only way.
I think the other side of the coin is that, like, the Raiders have a high implosion factor. I know I'm getting...
Look at Chandler Jones, the report out there, or the...
the Instagram story that he said he didn't want to play for this head coach or GM.
He couldn't get to the
gym. And Adams basically said, like, I'm going to have to do my best to kind of keep my head in the game and play along with what's going on here. Said a couple months ago. That's not – I don't love those words.
The Instagram that was since deleted from Chandler Jones, big ticket free agent signing last year, he said that he could not get into the team facility for the Raiders. And we could focus on this tomorrow, but it's already here. So – I don't know what the disconnect was, but he couldn't get in. So he said, I'm forced to go to a local gym to work out. And he kind of put it right at the feet of McDaniels, who again is a guy that's not looking so hot in terms of how he runs teams. And yeah, the high implosion factor, that's just another crack where you're like, remember Urban Meyer, where it just, the crack started and you started to see more and more and more. All right, Greg.
It was a pretty big crack when he was just, you know, grinding on that girl in the bar.
I watched
after a game.
I watched the Swamp Kings
after
Netflix.
A Thursday night game.
Yes, that they lost.
Yeah.
The Swamp Kings documentary on Florida during the Tebow years. Urban Meyer is insufferable in the doc, which is a very good documentary overall, but it is insane how high that man is on his own supply. It's worth watching just for that.
I'm going to check it out,
but I would.
It's an excellent documentary. And I thought this is our 11th year, all the guys that came through that pipeline, like seeing Percy Harvin as a college superstar, seeing Tebow's journey after it got all warped when he got to the NFL, your boy, the linebacker, Spikes, he has a major part in the doc as well.
He was a big personality. And a big swing and miss from myself in terms of what type of career he would have. This isn't going to be a swing and miss, though. You guys can take the rest of the field in the NFC North, and you can give up on our team of around the NFL all you want. I'm sticking with them, and I was thinking, what didn't we really cover in the predictions pod? And it's my belief that this Lions team will live up to their high expectations this year, and they will win the NFC North. So you get the field. I get the Lions. That's right.
Well, they're not the team of ATL.
Well, that was last
year.
I'm trying to keep them that way.
Here's something incredible. Mark, this is I was going to hold mine, but it's directly connected to this. So my second one is the Lions do not spend a single week alone in first place in the NFC North.
That's ridiculous. Alone. I mean, I guess that's funny. I mean, I'll take you up on that.
So, because they start in my mind with a loss. Listen, I already. Right. Oh my God.
So you already agreed. This is a.
Wait a second.
This is exciting.
This has to be an onion hanger, because if the Lions win tomorrow,
I'm already out. You've already lost.
You've not only lost your lock, but you've lost sandwiches. It would be unprecedented. I hope, obviously, the Lions win, but I just hope they're ahead in the second half and that you're sweating this thing out. This would be great.
I'll take you both up on your individual Lions propositions right there.
Okay, so you're taking the field. All right.
So you say that they
essentially conflict with each other on some level, but...
Can you win both?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Well, of course. So I can't... I actually probably will have to win one of them, right?
So the Lions do not spend a single week alone in first place, but he has them winning.
Right,
the whole division.
All you need to happen is for them to spend 1 week in first place at some point, not win the division.
Right,
which is quite possible.
I love taking both.
Quite possible. Alone really makes it, tricky. But
all right, I got one for you.
Wait a second.
Good. That was a good way
to marinate on that a little bit more. That the Lions, they might not be the team of ATN, but they are and continue to be a hugely compelling team within the structure of this
show.
That's
why I want to keep.
I don't love the dynamic that Greg is cooking up, where he is going to force or attempt to force them to be the team of ATN again, but also at the same time tell everyone and tell you and I that we aren't actually on board with it.
Well, that you really weren't last year. And
what I was doing last year, they grew on me, and I was being
not really that you were. That was a tough beat for you last year.
It was
as the Titans crumbled on top of it. And every other team.
Well, there were multiple things, multiple flowering disasters occurring all at once.
All right, let's hear it.
Watson throwing the ball over the field to different people that weren't on his team. Just a tough back nine last year.
I've made mine a little simpler this time around.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott will be benched.
Whoa.
That is an onion hanger.
So it can't be an injury.
No. I mean, we would have to, there's sometimes they don't tell you exactly what's going on, but it has to be
benched for performance reasons.
Performance, absolutely.
All right, what about if he gets
injured?
Wow,
that's an onion hanger.
And then he gets injured.
Like an Alex Smith Kaepernick type thing?
It's like last year.
Right.
And I don't know, in your mind, I don't know if it's Cooper Rush or if it's the washout from San Francisco, Trey Lance. One of these guys takes the job while he's injured and plays well. And then he doesn't. And then
That counts as a bench.
I think that's a bench.
And then Prescott gets better, and then he stays on the bench. Does that count?
In the world of NFL quarterbacks, like Dak Prescott, once healthy, not being put back into the starting lineup, is a huge story in a benching.
That's a massive onion hanger right off the top. And
wait, because I know you were part of that chorus that's saying, you know, Dak's stats last year weren't a true reflection of who he was. Like, what's going to happen this year?
No, I don't know if I'm really part of that chorus. I think that if you go and look at all his interceptions, there is that argument that, like, there was some weird stuff happening. He wasn't, like, a turnover-prone quarterback historically, and, like, some weird stuff happened. So
is this
the
a
interception
hunch?
Thing.
Is this a hunch, or are you seeing actual...
I think the pressure is turned way up, and I could just see... I think the one thing about Trey Lance, I buy the fact that they're, like, all in on Dak, but Trey Lance, the one thing about him is, like, there's just this mysterious, attractive potential, and if they got into a jam, I could see them be tempted to see what Lance could do if Dak is really floundering. It's a bit of a reach in the sense that I'm thinking Dak Prescott becomes a lesser quarterback than I actually think he is today, but
but if they're 6-10 or 7-9 and eliminated and they want to take a look at Trey Lance week 17, I think that's your path. That's the most likely path. And it's not totally insane, but I still don't think they would do it. I don't think he's Derek Carr, but
that would be pretty stunning. And it would be a real sign that Dak has lost obviously a ton of juice in that building.
It would be the end.
I feel like it's a little bit like the Trey Lance trade because people still are trying to make Trey Lance a thing. They made a bigger story than it really should have been seen in my mind. Okay.
Wait, you've already done two now.
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
I got one more.
I'll throw in one that I like because I like to use the QB index as a measuring stick. Even though Mark's not writing it this year.
Nick Shook is.
Nick Shook is doing it. Yep. Nice to have him involved. And
we'll be on the show Sunday, by the way.
Oh, this is why I'm going to really try to influence Nick throughout the season
on his
voting when it comes to keeping up with the Joneses, because there's a couple Joneses here that are starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And my prop, my sandwich is that Mac Jones, McCorkle,
your boy,
finishes the year ranked ahead of Daniel Jones in that beautiful QB index. Mac Jones over Daniel Jones.
I like this. It ticks your fan boxes off very well.
I knew you would.
You're believing Mac Jones and the Patriots being sneaky okay this year, and your abject dislike of the Giants over a couple of key games in your past. It's a good one. 46. And I think Mac will be better.
It's really a belief in Mac. I've actually, 42. The record will show I've been higher than consensus on Daniel Jones throughout his 46. Career. But I think Mac Jones will be good, and I think he's a better
player. So it's not QBR, it's not pass rating, it's where
Shook
Nick
on the
Shook.
QB index. I trust Shook more.
Where would I don't know Shook's like philosophy.
It's just who has a better it's who has a better year. I mean, last year,
but he might value different things.
I think Shook's going to give us a pretty fair representation.
Fair accounting. I'm not worried about that.
I'll take you on it.
I'll take you on it too. I think it would be a pretty big story. Everyone expects Mac Jones to bounce back. Sure, check that box. But like,
he finished 29th last year.
Yeah, but like, so, but the year before,
we're grown
like,
out last year.
That, but even exactly. Consensus, I've been looking at these quarterback rankings. Even consensus coming into the year, that's about where people have him. That
what
he's
was
better
Mac
than like four guys.
All right, here's a good one. Where was Mac at the end of QB index after his rookie year versus Daniel Jones?
Well, I wrote that.
He also kind of tailed off at the
end
of his rookie
year. You have him top 10.
I have no idea. No.
Where was he after like week 10 or 11?
At the very end of the season, I had him probably average, and I'll find it for you while I'm talking, and I probably had Daniel Jones just below. They were probably quite close. But little Mac over
2 years ago.
2 years ago. I had Mac 16 and Daniel Jones 24.
That's a different Daniel Jones.
Where did you have him last year, Jones? Forget about Mac.
Jones was closer,
yeah, was 29, like, I just,
middle of the pack, and Mac was way low. I mean, just because of what was going
on. It's not an onion hanger, but it's an upset, but it's not an onion hanger.
Okay, I'll take you too,
because I mean, I just 30 minutes ago said I thought that we're going to get like the next version of Daniel Jones and an evolution in his entire game. So
that, well, you've played that game before, though. You've covered both sides in the past.
I really don't think this is that Mac Jones is going to wind up with a better.
All right, you're up.
QB index. Okay, here we go. A floating Rams operation trades away Matthew Stafford. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. I just don't see the pieces put together. And, like, you've got your trade situation with the wideouts. I think Matthew Stafford, a team that believes that they have a quarterback injury of some sort. They believe that they really have a real chance. And Stafford kind of fits the bill of going from a team that's in a rebuild to kind of being that mid-season rescue operation for a playoff hopeful team in the AFC or NFC.
Well, we'll hear what a very notable member of the ATN family, Rams fan, thinks about this shortly. But
that's
I don't see it happening. I'm taking you up on this.
Because
so far, we're all taking
it
up.
You think it's impossible?
I don't think it's that crazy. That they make.
When's the last quarterback that got traded in season? It's like Carson Palmer?
Well, like a Sam Bradford situation before, Baker Mayfield.
Bradford was right before the season.
Right.
No, I mean in season.
Palmer was not in season, was he?
Because if you're trading
Palmer was, because remember, he's essentially sat out.
Right. Palmer was.
But he wasn't even playing.
Right.
Right. See, that's different, too. Like, Stafford, to get moved as a quarterback, unless it's to an offense that you know, like, the back of your hand, and then to give up what you would give up to get a veteran Super Bowl MVP or whatever, you would want him right in your lineup right away. It just seems so implausible to me that a team would do that in the middle of the year. So I feel more confident about that than anything we've done so far, that he's not going nowhere.
I'm with you, but then, like, you also hear reports that, like, people wanted to pull Drew Brees out of retirement and Tony Romo out of retirement.
But that's different,
Matt
too.
Ryan.
To me.
Well, why?
Because he's going, you're
he'd
saying
be,
a trade
he'd be
is.
Be in football shape.
The cap implications are quite complicated. And the only reason why this is on the table, and it could be for Aaron Donald, I suppose, too, is, look, there's two quarterback prospects in this next class that are going to probably have a higher consensus grade than any quarterback since Burrow and Lawrence, and are going to be seen in that category. And so helping your chances for that will be attractive.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who is the – it would have to be a coordinator tree match to start, I would think. So, like, who is a McVay disciple?
Yeah, I think it would that would help it. I don't think that.
I think he's not. Yeah, I think he could work almost.
I think you could convince yourself in a jam. Again, it's not like some team doing it as a weird experiment. It's like, we've lost our guy. We're in the race, and it's not a forever solution, but Stafford for this season. And the Rams, it's like stockpile draft picks. You're probably a bottom five team. Is Stafford like really your long-term
solution? Does he want to do that? I would imagine the last thing Stafford ever wants to do is leave in the middle of a season. He's got a family. He's already got his
What if they're
1-6
or something?
There's a lot of things in the way here, but I think you would need.
It's bonkers. That was bonkers,
Mark. You would need a good quarterback to get hurt.
I'm just trying to make interesting.
Great radio, bro.
Okay.
All right, last round. This one is pretty straightforward. I get Bijan Robinson and Nick Chubb. You guys get the field for a 2023 rushing champion.
Nick Chubb and who?
Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
I like this one because the field is always the way to go, but I feel like those two guys, to me, stand out.
Yeah, you backed us into a corner.
Yeah, that's you've had some onion hangers. This one, not as much. I don't like it because I think I picked Bijan to lead the league in rushing.
See, I got you in a corner.
Yeah.
I like putting baby in a corner.
And yet I'm going to take it anyways because, a man's got to live by his code, and my code is the field.
Yeah, I'll take you. I don't love this either. I think you've done a nice job
wrapping us. You guys in big time.
That was a good one.
Let's see.
I really think Bijan has a really good chance, but man, the field and Chubb would be in my top three chance,
Let me look at these real quick here.
Kind of don't know what that Browns offense is going to be, though. That's a little bit of a wild card-y one.
I think he'll get the rock, though. Okay, let's see. Who else would even? Austin Eckler doesn't run the ball enough. McCaffrey doesn't run the ball enough to win the rushing title. Barkley, sure. Derrick Henry, obviously you can't take that man out of the mix. Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs is the defending rushing champion. These are all options.
I don't love the field, but I think you're kind of counting on, unfortunately, something going a little sideways with Robinson or Chubb. That's what you're hoping for in this world.
I'm taking my sandwich back. I'm not putting it on. I am so in on Bijan.
You just said you had a code, though.
And I've changed my code.
The code.
I have so many codes.
Code switched. Yeah. He's out.
Well, another one of my codes, though, is pick what you want to root for. Like, don't pick against
You got too many codes. That's the problem.
I'll forget that this sandwich proposition.
By the way, I don't care if I win or lose. Just giving Greg this mental anguish is already a win.
I don't want to feel any even hint of conflict, a whisper, a little flavor when Bijan's running for 200 yards in those games. I just want to enjoy it, so I'm taking mine off.
All right, that's cool. That works, too. And that leaves two more. Greg.
Okay. I talked a lot about my belief.
Honk attack.
In these Los Angeles Chargers on the preview show. Let's take it into a different step. Justin Herbert finishes higher in the MVP voting than Patrick Mahomes. We just get a Herbert over Mahomes.
No, I'll take you right
1v1.
Now.
1v1.
All day long, I'll
1v1,
take you on
the Herbo.
Herbo? What's that thing? No, the Chargers are far too dysfunctional for everything to go well.
They have to finish. They have to win the division, most likely, for that to happen. It's basically just another way of saying that.
He'd have to outduel Mahomes decisively, if not in both of their encounters.
That's why I brought it up last.
As they say, I kind of don't like this phrase, but what is it? Say it with your chest. I saw you on Twitter. I know your game, Greg. Been doing
it's
this
not a, game,
a long time. You're getting it out there in the public discourse. You had some type of pro Chargers take, which is fine, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but that doesn't matter. Like, you believe you are all in on the Bolts and their special young quarterback.
Stay consistent.
You're in.
I'm back in.
Is there a team you're more into right now than the Chargers?
No. Seahawks and Patriots certainly are right. You know, Patriots are different.
Atlanta creeping into that?
Yeah,
mix.
Atlanta. Those.
How about you, Mark?
My circle of boys.
Is there a team I'm more into than the Chargers?
No. Who's your team that you're most into?
I think the Falcons right now. Hmm.
They're the team that when you open your eyes, that's the team you're most invested
in. I was up in the middle of the night thinking about the Falcons, which is a weird thing for me to do.
Wow.
Last evening.
It's the Falcons.
Yeah.
That you're most invested in having a big year.
You think
yes.
about that?
And that I'm most intrigued by.
Arthur Smith mustache? Or what do you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
No one else that you're thinking about in this conversation?
No. I know what you're attempting to do, but you're not even within a continent of where my mind is.
I just love that our guest has been listening to this the whole time. She's on.
Let's bring her in.
Wait, do we?
I still have another prop, though, but she can listen to it.
Sure, bring her in.
Yeah, let's have her do that.
Okay.
Nobody else. Not another two.
There she is.
No one else.
Hey, Lakeisha.
Hello.
It is
hey.
Lakeisha Jackson Wessling, the great Keish from St. Louis in her home office.
And, yes.
Oh, I see some.
Why do you have a better setup with a camera than I do?
That's looking very
it's
sharp
and annoying.
Because
I still need some stuff on the shelves back here, but it's
definitely better.
It's
together.
Almost as if you leave Los Angeles, you have a lot more space in your life.
That would be correct.
Are those some Shield softballs? Our famous company softball team that went to 3 title games and took home 2 trophies.
That would be correct. One is my game ball when I only got 1 game ball, so that one's back there. And another one, I don't even know where it's from, but we all signed it, and like Wes signed it, and it has like Wes loves Lakeisha Jackson Westland, so that's one of my faves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was floating around my house for a long time, I remember.
Yes, you gave that to me. Yes.
Keish, how are you? How is everything?
I'm good. I am a busy boy mom. Lincoln is obsessed with anything Spider-Man right now. So right before I got on, I heard the little ding from my Alexa that my Halloween costume is here. I'm going to be Gwen from Spider-Man.
Oh,
so
nice.
He's just running all over the place. Like, he's talking really well now. He's just becoming a little person, and he's so funny. Like, I love this age a lot. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But it's also a lot of fun, too.
Your Instagram story you posted over the weekend where he did, like, a jump from a platform. First of all, he's built like a tank now, and he's got that Wessling build, and I think about like
stocky
and athletic, and like Chris hitting those hard ground ball singles up the middle and then going first to third on base hits. Like he definitely has, you know, those Wesslings, and I mean all of them. I know I've met all of them for the most part, maybe one I haven't met yet. All athletic guys and competitive guys, and you could just tell the way Link is that he's going to be like a chip off the old block.
And the Wesleyan body type, there's a lot of different body types with those brothers. There's some tall ones, lean ones, some stocker. But I mean, Link has that.
I think he's
West
got the
build.
I think he's got the Chris and Nick build.
Right.
Hopefully, a little taller.
Yes, even when he's like walking around his little like boxer briefs, like it just reminds me, like, remember how stocky Chris used to be, like his legs, the way he walks, like it's just, it blows my mind. Like all the time, I'm like, I got a little Wes walking around here. Like, what the heck?
And there's a reason, by the way, Lakeisha got a game ball. I mean, Lakeisha was an athlete herself in high school and had sprinter speed. Mm-hmm. Once she put the ball on the ground, the whole thing with Lakeisha was like Wesley Snipes' character in Major League. If you hit a pop-up, give me 10 push-ups, because you put that ball on the ground, they are not throwing you out at first. So Link is really coming from some serious genes in terms of athletics.
And he's got my speed, too. So it's like, I'm so excited to see, like, what sport he ends up, like, falling in love with, because he's got my speed. He's got, like, Chris's hand-eye coordination. So, it's going to be very, very interesting. I'm excited to see that, because I'm going to be so screaming in the stands, super competitive.
Are you excited about the Rams?
Yeah, we're rebuilding right now, so my expectations are very low.
Well, you left them. You came here. They experienced immediate success. They won the Super Bowl with you here, there, and then you left, and they fell apart.
They have to come back to St. Louis now. That's the only way to make this.
I wish. It's ghost town here. Everyone's Chiefs fans now. And I'm what is going on? Oh, yeah.
I've heard that, too.
In the stores where you're, like, buying all the St. Louis merchandise, I'm like, it's very, very odd. So it's just me and a few others.
So, Keisha, we were doing sandwich props, as you know, and I had one that Matthew Stafford would be traded midseason by the Rams to another team. Does that seem absurd to you? Would you take me up on that?
No.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen.
You want to take – will you take your sandwich?
Yeah. Well, then
all right, so add that to the list, Mark, to be paying out.
We still have one more Mark, and then I know you have one.
All right, look, Mark, you give us a sandwich prop. Keish, you give us one, and then Eric Roberts behind the glass. It is a tradition that the producer must have a failed sandwich prop every season. So we look forward to that. Mark, you go first.
All right. The other two that I've done have been like completely football drenched, just football scenarios. This one is a little bit more of something that I was thinking about recently, that a star quarterback loses at least one start this season, regular season, because of an off-field incident involving a problematic individual dressed in a costume. Now, veering towards cosplay, but not definitively cosplay, but like a quarterback gets into some sort of situation that would be considered an incident and misses a start because of a costumed individual, not himself in a costume.
Bring it back. Lakeisha. Lakeisha just said that she's getting some of her Halloween costume delivered. Does that include perhaps a Halloween party?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I think that's like you're getting into the hot zone during Halloween season.
And I know this as a dad myself. Halloween, I believe, falls on a Tuesday this year. So these guys are going to have their parties on, let's say, Friday after the walkthrough. They'll have a nice Friday night. Maybe. I'll take you up on it, but it's not crazy. I'm focused on Halloween on this one as being the culprit.
Now, you would have won one if you had this prop back in 2018. Maybe. I guess not, because Chad Kelly was not a starting quarterback. But remember, there was an incident at the Von Miller Halloween party, which I think changed Swag Kelly's career. But I will take you up on this.
Okay.
This feels...
There's some DNA to this.
I had a doomed Chad Kelly prop a couple of years back that he would maybe make a play for the Colts or something. I don't think I won that.
He wake up on someone's couch or something? I think.
Yes, we spent a couple Halloweens together, Keish, but I have a feeling that St. Louis Halloween goes hard.
I mean, not the block that I live on. I do miss my Westchester area. They really got into it. So we're we're going to bounce around this year and see, but I'm definitely taking Mark up on this. I was hoping that there was going to be one of the props that were just out there. Like, that's my favorite one.
Keisha's going to end up maybe with a winning record here because he's just taking Mark's.
Yeah, that's Mark's good. All right, actually, let's sit on Lakeisha's and make hers the last one. Eric, what is your prop?
All right, guys, so I'm going to go with the Homer, a Homer prop. Everybody's been talking Jets defense.
Okay.
So I'm going Bills out sack and out intercept the Jets this year. So total
out,
number.
Out sack?
Mm. Sacks and interceptions together.
It's a little different.
So I think the Bills had 5 more interceptions than the Jets last year, but I do think the Jets out sack.
Yeah, who's picking up all your sacks on D? Like, who are your guys that you're going to lean on the most here?
Rousseau's supposed to have a breakout year this year. Matt Milano's always good. Von Miller, when he comes back, hopefully he'll pick up some slack halfway through the season. I know he's out through 4 weeks.
You got Leonard Floyd is usually good for about 6 to 7.
Micah Hyde, you know, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White.
I mean, you're just mentioning, you're talking interceptions.
Yeah, so
I'm
talking sacks and interceptions together. Outnumbered.
I'll take you just because the odds would say both numbers. Well, first, the Jets defense should be great, but also winning both numbers could be tough. Winning one, you know.
I like that one.
Yeah, I'll take you. I think it's one of the better producer-generated sandwich props.
And it gives the Bills some much-needed juice in the set after the events of earlier.
I'm telling you, a month and a half or so of Hard Knock Stan has been a little rough. I came out of it, I'm like, dude, why do I kind of like the Jets and Aaron Rodgers right now? I need to beef up my
Monday,
Bills Mafia blood a little bit.
Yeah, Monday, I think we'll do the trick.
Speaking of producers, I do have a potential other producer one, a former producer sent in one. Is everyone taking you on that? Keisha, are you taking?
Yeah.
Does she get to take one?
Sure.
No, I'm Team Jets. Sorry.
Nice.
Ouch.
Love that girl. I love it.
I had forgot Zach Golden. Remember Zach Golden? It was his dream.
Yeah, it's the gold standard.
He had asked if he could send in a sandwich prop. Is this
you remember Zach Golden? He's on Mount Rushmore.
Well, no, I'm saying, he is on Mount Rushmore. And I get to see him once a year in Japan, which is always bizarre and terrific.
What's he got for us?
It's a little bit of a mouthful. I know I'm springing on, but it is kind of a fun one.
Go ahead.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will once again host games at the 2023 International Series. But first time it will do so without ardent gridiron aficionado Harry Kane, a striker of the football club that calls the arena home. Kane, who has recently moved to Bayern Munich in Germany as part of a $127 million transfer, may find it tricky to return to London for an event so soon. He's been to every single NFL game there after a dramatic split from his boyhood team. While he will have 2 opportunities to catch an NFL game in Germany, this sandwich bet reflects Harry Kane will make an appearance at least 1 international series game in London and at least 1.
I love how absurd this is.
We will see Harry Kane.
London and Germany.
I'm a little confused. I think he might be missing a word here. Make an appearance at least 1 NFL series game in London and Frankfurt, I believe. Yeah,
so that's good. The international listeners will enjoy this one. Harry Kane. Sure. I don't know. Yeah, I'll take it.
I'll take him, too. He shows up. He's by the tail end of the journey.
I know. I am, too. It's like, is he showing up? Well, I guess he could show up to the
you know who's going to be really confused? Nick Fortier, as he's writing this out. He's like, what the f*** is this? Like,
pay me.
He also, and Zach points out, I have no idea if that's how sandwich bets actually work.
Oh, but, I love Zach.
Yeah, thanks to Zach.
All right, Keish, close it out. Your sandwich prop.
So my sandwich prop, I had to go back to one of my favorite ATN podcast memories. It was back in 2019, whenever my mom came into town and we were watching Lamar Jackson.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
She was going nuts, talking about the ghost plays. Like, me and Wes were just cracking up because in this business, it can get where it's like the fun of it like goes away after a while when you're working in it. But like, hearing it from someone who didn't really know anything about football, we were just cracking up and had so much fun that night. So my sandwich prop will be that Lamar Jackson is going to have an amazing season and will be top 3 in the MVP race.
Top 3 for Lamar.
Top 3. He sat out the last 6 games. He's got his big contract in April, so he's got money. He's well-rested, so I expect big things from the Ravens.
I hate to go against your mom. That's a tough one.
Yeah. This is tough because there are a few players in the NFL I love more than Lamar Jackson. There's few humans on the world I love as much as Lakeisha Jackson. But
you were gonna say Lamar. I was like, all right, okay, can we just rein in a little bit?
But I feel like Wes would be disappointed in me if I just didn't cold-blooded steal your sandwiches like I would to him back in the
day. Sure.
So I'm taking you up on this top three. That's
tough.
That's rare.
I mean, he's a Mark. He is a former MVP, and
yeah, he's
ostensibly in a better fit for him, and this could be a return to. But yeah, I'm going to take you up on it too. I don't think it's implausible, but I think it's more likely he falls outside the top three.
I mean, I guess if not this season, then when? Because you've got your best cast of weapons and wideouts he's ever had. I think in general the players are happy to be in like a new offensive system, but it's such a crowded like crew of quarterbacks in that MVP conversation. So top three, I'll take you on it. I think he'll be outside of the top three.
And I think circling back to gold standards prop, I think he's saying logistically it's going to be difficult for Harry Kane. I don't know where he is now.
In Germany, I believe. Is that correct?
To get to the UK.
Right.
Yeah.
A London game, because of his schedule is different than it used to be because he moved from that team that he was at for a long time.
Well, they're not going to welcome him back there, I think is what he's saying. But maybe he would go to the Wembley game.
I mean, it doesn't need to be welcome back, right? It's not like it's going to be a ceremony on the field or anything.
No, but it would. If Tom Brady, would he go back to the Foxborough Stadium 2 months after?
Did it end poorly?
Non-event.
I don't know.
I don't think they're thrilled that he left. And maybe he's showing up to Wembley in Tottenham. But I did not think we'd circle back to Zach's.
Quiche. yes, so many great memories with Chris, countless memories, and yourself. And all those Thursday night openers at the house in Westchester, and we were just texting about it yesterday. In fact, how much we miss Chris and wish he was still part of the show and still here with us. But those Thursday night openers always created some of the worst podcasts.
Well,
I hated those recaps we would do. I always left the house
because we had too much fun just watching
that.
The game.
Yeah. But the actual viewing of the games, being together, having some drinks, having some food, and enjoying each other's company, that will stay with us forever.
Yes, I know I've mentioned it with all of you guys. It's just, it gets, you know, kind of sad at the start of the season because you definitely notice it more because, you know, the excitement of the season that we used to have and him not here. So it's like we always just lean on each other. And I'm just so grateful for you guys. I love you guys.
Love you too.
You too.
Yeah, there is something.
I don't know if you can see my t-shirt too.
Oh, I like that shirt.
Oh, that is great.
You got the all in the boxes. It was like COVID era.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Ricky, old Zeuser, Mailman,
Bunker
Cast. Mark,
and
Greg, the Bunker Cast tee. That is such a cool shirt.
Mm. Yes, a fan gave me this at the live show in LA.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm. Shout out to whoever you may be. I remember you being a nice fellow.
Yeah. There's something about the beginning of the season, you're right. I think it'll always be that way, beginning of the season, end of the season, that makes us think of Chris even more. Like he's always such a big part of this show. But
3 years, this will be our third season without Chris, which is also hard to
it's
believe.
Crazy.
So, but all together right now talking about him and just continuing to be close. That's how you do it.
He'd be proud of this take of yours, Keith. He'd be proud of everything, but proud of us all staying as tight.
Would he be proud of my cosplay sandwich prop?
I think he would have gotten a kick out of it.
He would have
enjoyed it.
Possibly.
Yeah, I sent my mom something
that's
the
most
day
important
about
thing.
The Ravens. She went nuts.
I love it. I love your mom's all in. I feel like your mom would be way into Odell, too. So now he's in the building.
she don't even know about him yet.
Oh,
so
just wait. She's going to love his charisma and his hair and everything. She's going to be super in. All right, Quiche, thank you so much. We love you. You're the best.
Love you guys, too.
Come
Miss
visit us again soon out here in L.A. Now we say goodbye. The Wednesday show. In the books, we'll be back Thursday with two shows, really three. We're going to have a preview of the rest of the games, our draft. We'll have the TNF recap of Lions Chiefs. Can you believe it? Tomorrow night. And also, yes, we've been talking about it. NFL Plus launches with our first episode where we do some looking in the mirror ahead of
Spicy.
Week one. All right. That's it. Honk attack. But we survived.
Honk, 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 honk.
And we've been released. Care. Heed the call!
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.